You're listening to sermons from Church on Bayshore in Niceville, Florida. Our mission is to do whatever it takes to see people believe in Jesus, belong to God's family, and become who God created them to be, impacting the world for Christ. To learn more about our church and to find additional resources, including ways to connect, serve, and give, visit churchonbayshore.org.
So here with me now is Angel Hayes, Matt Jackson, and Elena Bloodworth. And Josiah is ready for next year to be up here. But so thank you guys so much. And we just want to take a few moments and just hear from you. You don't have the junior Holy Spirit. You have the real Holy Spirit, right, as seniors in high school. And so we just want you to share about what God has done in your life over the past few years and encourage us. And so we're going to get started with a question. Just how has your faith deepened in high school? And Elena, ladies first, I'm going to let you get us started.
And deepened in high school. So my freshman and sophomore year, I would occasionally call myself, you know, a Christian when it would morally benefit me in society. And then it wasn't until my junior year that a friend invited me to Bayshore, and I was introduced to church and Bible study and a true relationship with God. And it's just been amazing. Ever since I started coming here, I just fell in love with Jesus, and I haven't looked back since. One thing that I've just learned about my faith is walking by faith. And I know that's, everyone says it, and I love it, though, because society deems walking by faith as scary. But to me, I'd be more scared to not walk by faith. And I trust God so much. Why would I not walk in that full surrender? Because that, to me, is terrifying. So that's how my faith is.
Amen. Yeah, praise God. Well, Angel, we'll stick with ladies going first here. How has your faith deepened in high school?
I have my notes because I'm not very good at speaking in front of people. I'm just going to read it. That works. Okay. My faith has deepened immensely during high school. When I first started high school, I was only beginning to learn what a relationship with God meant. I had always known God, but never understood truly what knowing him meant. Throughout the last 4 years, I have grown to know him and love him so much, as he has brought me out of so many difficult times. I have a couple of verses and scriptures that I want to quote.
James, we have no problem with you quoting scripture, okay?
I'm glad. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I have learned to lean on him when I cannot stand on my own, and I know that through each trial I will go stronger and closer to the woman that he has created me to be."
That's good. All right, Matt, well, you get to follow that. Those were both great.
I do not have verses, for the record. So I actually moved here to Niceville my freshman year from D.C., and that kind of meant when I was coming here, it was major culture shock. It was completely different. My faith coming into high school was very secluded, personal. I had walls built up because in D.C., it was really hard to be open with your faith. So coming here and seeing just all the brothers and sisters coming out and being confidently in the Lord, that was my journey to try to reach that point in my faith in high school. And it was a slow process. I'm still there's still some walls that I'm still trying to break down, you know? But coming here and meeting my fellow brothers and seeing that it is possible to not only have a faith for yourself, but to then show it to others and be that light in the world. The Holy Spirit has just worked in me through these years to help break down those walls and reach those goals of just being confident in the Lord.
That was pretty good too, Matt.
Thank you. I'll take it.
So we'll stick with you and just unpack something you said, and I'd like everybody to answer this. So how has being a part of the church, the Christian community, how has that helped you?
It's in every way possible, you know? Back in D.C., it was a super small church. Our entire church as a whole was probably the size of that section right there. So I had no relationship with fellow Christians. I was I mean, DC, I was hanging out with like a lot of people that were part of the LGBTQ and like gay straight alliance. So it was like truly, it was like secluded and like very personal, like I couldn't share it. Coming here and meeting, like, I mean, you saw it, like we're hanging out all the time, we're TPing Pastor James's house. We are just like—
Just one time, just for clarity.
Time.
Yeah.
But who says we won't do it again? But just seeing like that brothers and sisters, we can be like friends in the Lord and we can like build that community. It constantly pulled me out of like me veering off the course. It brought me back and it's been like that straight line that I've been coming back to every time to just get closer with the Lord together as a group.
That's good. Now, Angel, you've grown up in church. And really been in this church a long time. How has being a part of the church helped you in your walk with Christ?
Sure. I have verses for all of my answers, so this might take me a minute. Okay. Okay, the church has been a huge part of my life, and I'm blessed to have grown up in church. The biggest thing about church that has helped me is the community. Being surrounded by people in the faith has helped me to realize that I am not alone and that my hardships do not go unnoticed. 1 Peter 5:8-11 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." In high school, I became very involved in the church, and I started helping in kids' ministry and leading in student worship. In my freshman and sophomore years, helping teach younger generations about the Helping teach the younger generations about the gospel has been a challenge and encouraging. It not only taught me patience, but also helped me to understand a childlike faith better. Likewise, leading in worship has taught me to have more confidence in using my gifts when done for God's glory. In general, serving other people through the church has taught me humility and given me so many opportunities to show God's love to others.
Awesome. Well, Elena, you shared that, you know, you became a new Christian just a couple years ago, and you've kind of dove all into what God's calling you to do. How has the church been a part of that journey?
So the church has definitely been life-changing for me. First and foremost, there are so many great mentors in this church, and my life group leaders are a great example and have just shown me a great example of what it is to be a woman of God and to follow Jesus, and that has just been such a blessing to have. And on like the opposite end of that is being able to serve and pour into the students here. I serve on midweek every week with crew, and I just absolutely love doing that. I love being able to share with what I've been taught to teach them, and it's so amazing. Like, being connected in a church teaches you the importance of service and the importance of also like learning and like continuously learning. And I know that no matter how far I get in my walk with God, I'll never know enough. And so it's just been so, so important and just helped me learn the heart of Christ and who he is. And I see that exemplified in every single person here. And I think of Luke 2:49, I think, when Jesus, he gets lost or whatever. Mary and Joseph can't find Jesus. And turns out he was in the church. And they were like, "Jesus, like, where were you?" And he was like, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not think that I would be in the Father's house?" And that's how I feel every time I come here. It's just home to me. And I'm here more than I am in my actual house, honestly. It's been such a blessing for sure.
That's awesome. Well, I could hear what you guys have to say all day, but we do have other things to do. So we're going to wrap up with one more question. And I'm going to work this way, if that's all right. We have some younger students here, out here. If you could give them one piece of advice, what would it be?
My piece of advice is keep praying and be obedient. Prayer can be hard, and it's still something I'm struggling with. But being faithful in prayer is so powerful and will bring you peace. An easy verse to remember is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. And secondly, be obedient. Obedience brings transformation. 1 John 2:4-5 says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his words, in him truly the love of God is perfected."
Matt?
My piece of advice, oh, there we go. My piece of advice would be routines are so easy to start and so hard to break. So, like, for me, I started my freshman year reading the Bible every night. Once a night, I read a chapter. And I have done that now all 4 years. I've gone through the entire New Testament, all of Psalms, and I'm working through Proverbs right now. It is so hard to break that. Like, for me, it, like, hurts if I don't actually get to read the Bible at night. So just any time, if you're a morning person, do it before school. If you're a night owl like I am, do it right before you go to bed. Or sometime in the middle of the day, set a reminder on your phone if you need to. But it is so, like, powerful and so important to have those routines in your life. And if you never get around to it, the older you get, the harder it gets. So start it early, start it now. It's good, trust me.
Elena?
My piece of advice is always love no matter your circumstances. And I think that goes for even no matter how people are treating you as well. As a student, there's lots of challenges you face. There's could be bullying online, in person, no matter what it is, there's so many challenges. And it can be really hard to still love those people and to still pray for those people. But it is so, so important to do that and to keep loving. And Jesus is our perfect example of that. I mean, he was hanging on the cross because people hated him so much. And he still says, as he's hanging on the cross, he says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And I think that's the kind of mindset we should take with us always, is just to love no matter what, no matter how hard it is. And the thing is it might seem really hard, but I promise it's a lot easier when your faith is in Jesus, because you're not loving out of your own power. You're loving out of the love that Jesus has given you.
Amen. Hey, well, can we give a hand for these three right here?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Since you're servants, too, if you'll put those stools wherever Pastor Justin wants you to put those stools, that would be great. And one of the exciting things about what God is doing in our church is he's calling people to ministry. And so we praise Jesus for that, because really the bench is pretty shallow when you look out there of young people calling to ministry, and God's Spirit needs to do something. And so we celebrate that. And one of those individuals is one of our seniors, Joseph Costa. I'm going to ask Joseph to come on down now. And yeah, praise Jesus for Joseph. And Joseph is going to challenge us from God's word today. So he's never done that before. So I'm going to pray for him. And that's good. Yeah, but hey, we're proud of you, and we're excited to hear what God would say through you. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much for Joseph, and we thank you for the call you've placed on his life, first and foremost, to know you and walk with you, and that you are continuing to grow his burden to share that with others and to help others see who you are. And so I know he probably feels a little nervous and inadequate, but the truth is, he is inadequate. We all are. But God, your Spirit can speak through him now, and I pray that you would do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Morning. You can do better than that. Come on. You didn't have to go to 8 o'clock this morning. How are we doing this morning? There we go. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Well, my name is Joseph Costa. I know a lot of you do know me, but some of you probably don't. I'm a senior at Niceville High School for about like 4 more days. Whoop, whoop. And next fall, I'll be attending Southeastern University, and I'll be doing a double major in ministerial leadership and Christian studies and also commercial music. I love music. I serve on the youth worship team with middle school on Wednesday nights and the high school on Sunday nights. You got to see a portion of those talented students up here on the stage this morning. I know more of them are up in the choir. You've got some in the booth. They're all around taking pictures. And I couldn't be prouder to serve on a team of such students with servant hearts. One more thing about me. I love to coach sports. I've been coaching my siblings in flag football and basketball for the past 4 years. But yeah, we've done pretty good. I've coached with James, coached against James. You know, we have a little... rivalry there. But while overall, God's grace has given me so many things such as these that we could be celebrating today, my life, like many of yours, has had plenty of challenges, even at my young age of just 18. I know many of the younger students face many challenges, and while I don't know quite what it's like to be out on my own yet, like some of you adults in the room, I am aware of some of the trials that come with adulthood, and that I'm sure you guys have gone through. That's one of the big reasons I want to share with you guys James 1, 1 through 8 today, if you guys want to open up there. It says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you so much for opportunities like these where I get to come and share your word with all of these people in this room. And I ask that you just let me glorify your name to the best of my abilities and not my own. I know I'm not worthy of this stage, but no one is. So I pray you use me today to speak to everyone here and that your words come out of my mouth. We love you and praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's start right in verse 2. Verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Something I know we all struggle with, especially I do, is finding pure joy in trials. Like, trials are hard. What do you mean find joy? Like, they're not happy. So this morning, let's ask the question, how can we find joy in trials? So the first thing I want to discuss is that trials are not joyful on their own, but they can be when we realize that they all have a purpose for God's plan. So growing up, my parents always taught me that I would learn from my mistakes, and they were right all the time. For instance, one time I was 12, I was making cookies, and I thought it would be a smart idea. I was going to take the cookies out of the oven on their 400-degree metal pan, and I was going to try and close that oven with my knee. You guys can guess what happened next. I dropped that sheet right onto my chest. And that got me a nice little burn there. And you know what? I never tried to do that again. In fact, for a little while, I had my mom take everything out of the oven for me. Thank you, Mom. The point of that being, I learned my lesson, and it shaped how I acted for the next little while. Now, that's a simple example, but verse 2 tells us that trials come in all shapes and sizes. These could be things such as anxiety, depression, family troubles, struggles with school or work, or anything of kinds like that. Through all of these things, we have to remember that God is faithful, and his plan is far better than our own. We just have to do our best to choose the joy over the negativity. Always keep in mind that he is over everything. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's reread that last part. I have overcome the world. He's greater than everything already. He has already won, just like we sang this morning. Another thing that I want to add is just because something is difficult does not mean it's not a part of God's plan. The devil's going to try harder and harder to tempt us as we get closer with God. Christianity is not the easier way to go. The road is narrow, but it is 1,000% worth it. Trials test our faith, and when our faith is tested and we trust God, our faith will grow as he gets us through. This growth of faith is one of the most important things to God when it comes to our relationship with him. When our faith grows, we're able to understand his will and better align ours with his. So this brings me straight over to verses 3 and 4, which say, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The main point in these verses is trials build perseverance. This is important to note because oftentimes we feel like if we can try to avoid trials because we don't want to have to deal with the difficulty, like we should just get out of it. But no, trials are essential to the maturing of our faith. Like I mentioned a moment ago, trials test our faith, and the more we are able to put our faith in God, the stronger our faith will become. If you don't trust God to get you where you need to be through the trials, how do you expect him to help you? If your goal through perseverance is to just fix your own problems and move on, you'll never get where you want to be. But if your goal through perseverance is to know and grow in your faith, then you'll always get where you're supposed to be. And this is the key. If you're staying faithful and making an effort to grow in a relationship with the Lord, then you're going to end up right in the spot where God has planned for you, which is important because that goes over all of our preferences and everything, because that is where we're supposed to be. Verse 4 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Other translations use the term have its full effect, which tells us that we need to be matured in our faith. We must endure in the full effect or completeness of the trial. And this just speaks to me as we don't determine when the trials are over. And that's not for us to decide. And trying to get out of those trials early can actually make it worse. This past year, a group of most of the junior and senior guys and I met on Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m., really early, before school, to have a Bible study in which we read through the Screwtape Letters. If you all don't know what the Screwtape Letters is, it's a collection of letters written by C.S. Lewis from Screwtape, who's a demon, written to his nephew, Wormwood, who's also a demon, to give him feedback and help him pull the patient or the human he was trying to infiltrate farther and farther from God. In letter 30, it talks about a lot about fatigue, which I know I struggle with when it comes to perseverance. I just get tired. I don't want to deal with anything, none of anything anymore. I don't want to deal with my friends. I don't want to deal with anything. I just want to go and sleep. But the letter talks about how these demons can use this fatigue and perseverance to think about how close the ending is. And while a lot of people say, oh yeah, think positive, that's awesome. Like, yeah, you're almost done. You got it. The demons can use this to disappoint us more and more when the trial doesn't end as early as we would have preferred. This is because as humans, we feel like we can only bear things as long as we're given them. So when we guess on a reasonable time that we feel like a trial that we could endure, that time is oftentimes a lot longer that we'll need to endure it. And it just makes life a lot harder when you're like, oh, I was supposed to be done with this now. Why am I not done? And it makes you doubt God more. Sorry, I lost my spot. But that's when we have to remember it's not about how our preferences are on when we want it to end. It's about how God's plan for how he's going to use us to glorify him and how we need to look back at this trial on why it's longer. Like, what is the lesson that I need to be learning from God here? Because as we go back and we choose joy in that, we look for that lesson and we trust him, because he will pull us through to the other side no matter what, no matter how long it takes, all the time. Finally, I know some of you are probably like me and thinking, well, how do I know what God's teaching me or what do I do next? I don't see things like that super easily. It's a difficult thing to do. So let's look at verses 5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Well, I think this passage is just a way of reminding people, if you need wisdom from God, ask. It says explicitly in this passage that God gives generously to all people without finding fault. So just because we aren't worthy doesn't mean God won't help us, and none of us are worthy of that help. This speaks to the fact that God wants to help us. He doesn't want to see us go through these difficult trials because he loves us and he cares immensely for us. But if we aren't actively seeking a relationship with him, he won't be able to help us. That brings me over to verse 6. But when you ask, you must help him, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. If you don't believe and have a faith in God that he has the power to help you, he won't. And this makes me think back to Matthew 14, when Peter walks on water for a moment with Jesus. When he's focused, when he's locked in on Jesus' face and he's focused on having faith in Jesus that he will be able to walk on this water out to him, he's walking and he does it. But as soon as he gets distracted by this crazy storm, the wind and the lightning and the rain, he begins to sink and he asks Jesus for help. Matthew 14:31 shows us Jesus' response, and it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Peter was distracted and he did not put his full faith in Jesus' ability to get him through. But for the moments that he did, he was doing miraculous things. When we have faith in the Lord, we can do things that we never thought were possible for ourselves, like get through that trial for longer. This is how we're supposed to get through these trials joyfully as well. Full faith that God has a plan and will get you through it. To be honest, like James said, this is my first time really speaking in front of a crowd of this size. I don't really speak in front of people other than classmates usually, and as a senior, my classes are pretty small. So writing this sermon is a little bit outside of my comfort zone. I'm not used to being up here on stage without a guitar in my hand or a mic singing. So this is a bit different for me. And honestly, it started to get frustrating a lot when I was writing. But as I was writing, I realized I needed to just kind of read back on my own notes and take a deep breath and pray that the Lord give me wisdom through it all, and remember that even that this is difficult, it is all part of his plan and it's for a purpose to glorify him. Once I did that, I had full faith that he would help me, and I felt so much better and so much more confident in what I was saying because I could tell it was from God. To close this morning, I want to dive into the last song the worship team is about to lead this morning. Most of you probably know it. It's called Gratitude by Brandon Lake. This has been one of my favorite songs for a long time, not just because it's a super fun song to sing with the team or because Brandon Lake's an amazing vocalist. It might be a little bit that. But because of how convicting it is to really surrender all of my worries and my trials and everything to God because of how great he is. The chorus goes, "So I'll throw up my hands, praise you again and again, because all that I have is a hallelujah." Ooh, that was hard not to sing, sorry. In these moments, when I'm singing the song, it brings me such a sense of peace because I know God. Because I know a God who is powerful and faithful to me, and all I want to do is praise and glorify his name. In these moments, all the trials slip away, and I can choose joy because it's out of my hands at that point. God has taken over. Romans 8, 31 through 32 say, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" If he is for us, who can be against us? His sacrifice on the cross is the evidence that he loves and always has our back. What greater trial is there than the one that Jesus endured on the cross for us? If he is able to handle that willingly and with joy in his heart, then surely he'll be able to help us through all of these things. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for you and everything that you have done and will do for us. We ask that you give everyone in this room the wisdom and the strength that they need to get through whatever trials they have going on in their lives. I pray that you help us all choose joy in the trials, even though it's difficult, and help us remember that your plan is far better than our own. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It is in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.